across the country, we celebrated the 250th anniversary of the birth of our nation. As much as we talk about it and as highly as we prize it, though, I'm not convinced we really know what it really means to be really free. Freedom in Christ is one of the core truths of Scripture. For example, Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Through Apostle Paul in this passage, Holy Spirit reveals to us that Christ set us free from slavery to legalism that insists we have to earn our way to salvation. And Scripture is crystal. When Lord Jesus sets us free, we are free from having to try harder to save ourselves. We are free from both the penalty and the power of sin. And we are free to live in the power of Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus frees us by delivering us from what enslaves us. And we must understand, as the passage tells us, that our freedom in Christ is not for our own personal benefit only. Today, I want you to look with me at a passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. In the verses we'll explore today, Holy Spirit reveals there is a freedom paradox that we must recognize if we are to really know what it really means to be really free. A paradox is an idea, principle, or fact that seems to contradict itself, but is actually true. Examples of paradox you may be familiar with are less is more. The more you give, the more you get. And the only thing that never changes is change. There is a paradox of true freedom that we must apprehend and apply if we want to be truly free. It isn't at all confusing or contradictory, though, to recognize that one of the fabulous features of being created in the image of God is that we have been created with the freedom to choose. And you chose to use your freedom to choose by participating in this service in person or by listening to the message online. So I want to say thank you. And I want to remind all of us that God, Creator and Lord of the universe, also has chosen to be here with us by His Spirit. And He is present with us for a specific purpose. God Himself is here by His Spirit to speak to you and to me. Holy Spirit speaks to us in a variety of ways. Sometimes, for example, the Spirit speaks to us by stirring our emotions. Sometimes He speaks by giving us new insight or reinforcing a truth of Scripture and its relevance in our lives. Sometimes He brings awareness of actions we need to take. I don't know the specific way Holy Spirit will speak to you today, but I know He will speak. And when the Spirit speaks to us, we need to carefully listen and deliberately respond. So as we continue, I encourage you to give your attention to Him. If something happens to distract you, to turn your attention away from the whatever it is that He is speaking to you about, then I want to encourage you that if that happens, that you turn your attention away from that distraction and give your attention to what Holy Spirit is saying to you. Even if what I'm saying is a distraction, get your attention back onto what the Spirit is saying to you. If you miss something I say, you can go back and review the recording later. It's going to be posted on the website later this week. But if you miss the voice of God, you will have missed something of eternal importance. So again, as we continue, give your attention to what Holy Spirit wants you to experience, hear, and do. And plan now to respond before you know the details. Plan in advance to respond in obedience. Please join me in prayer that we'll be ready to hear and respond. Father in heaven, we acknowledge you today as the one true God. May your name be exalted in all the earth, in this place, and in and through our lives. Thank you for the truth you give us. Please open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us today. We pray that you will speak to us specifically and clearly. Protect us, we ask, from any distractions that might prevent us from receiving your revelation and your challenge. And we do pledge in advance that we will listen to you and obey your call. We give ourselves to you for this purpose, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now let's look at our passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Chapter 6 of John's Gospel is a transition in the earthly ministry of Lord Jesus. His popularity had grown over a period of several months, culminating in his incredible miracle of feeding the crowd, noted in the first verses of John chapter 6. He prayed over 5 biscuits and 2 sardines, and the result was enough for each of the thousands who had gathered to eat their fill with leftovers. After this, the crowd seeking his attention grew even larger. Then he began to teach them more deeply about who he is and what he expects of his faithful followers. Chapter 6 of John's Gospel notes that Lord Jesus told people that they must trust him to receive eternal life. And he continued, saying he is the bread of life sent from heaven. And he told them that trusting him for eternal life required them to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Of course, he was speaking symbolically to communicate to them that we must depend on him fully and completely if we are to be his true followers. He was emphasizing that we must put even more attention and effort into our spiritual lives and health than we do to maintain and advance our physical well-being, and that our spiritual lives and health depend completely on our trust and communion with him. To see what happened next, look with me, please, starting with verse 66. John 6, beginning with verse 66. As a result, many of his disciples left and no longer walked with him. And so what it's talking about, the result of what? As a result of this stumbling block that was for them, was this the Lord's challenging teaching that was difficult for them to understand or accept. And when it says that many of his disciples left, the disciples here are not talking about the 12, but the multitudes who had begun to follow him merely for the spectacle of what they thought were magic tricks, or possibly to get another free meal, or maybe to be the personal recipients of one of his miracles of healing or deliverance. They were interested in Jesus for nothing more than their own physical and emotional comfort and convenience. And so when it got inconvenient and uncomfortable, they left. Verse 67. Aren't we glad we don't do that? Verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to leave also. Was Jesus feeling the loss of so many who had claimed allegiance to his movement? Or was he simply offering the 12 an opportunity to reinforce and declare their allegiance to and dependence on him? We may not know for sure, but either way, his question to the 12 would have been compelling for them. And as happened most often, Simon Peter answered for them. Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life, and we have trusted and have come to know that you are the Christ, the Holy One, the Son of the living God. In this example of Simon Peter and those with him, Holy Spirit reveals to us a critical understanding about true freedom and three essential actions for experiencing it. This critical understanding is the paradox of true freedom that we need to apprehend and apply if we want to be truly free. And what is the paradox of true freedom that is crucial for us to understand? Well, listen closely to the words of Simon Peter. They come from a revolutionary understanding of what it means to be truly free. An understanding that may seem at first contradictory, but is actually true. Verses 68 and 69 record that Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the freedom paradox. True freedom is submissive dependence on our Lord. With Simon Peter's words and the actions that accompanied them, he and those with him declared and demonstrated their complete dependence on Lord Jesus. These who followed Lord Jesus most closely had come to understand, unlike the many who left, that being truly free for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is not independence. True freedom is in dependence. And that is the freedom paradox that we must apprehend and apply if we want to be truly free. True freedom is not independence. True freedom is in dependence. Of course, there are dependencies that enslave us. But there is one dependency that frees us. It is dependence on Lord Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Holy Spirit reveals to us in the Gospel of Luke that Lord Jesus announced in Nazareth that he came to proclaim release to captives and set free those who are oppressed. In the Gospel of John, Holy Spirit reveals that Lord Jesus declared that knowing the truth truly sets us free. And of course, Lord Jesus declared that he himself is the truth. Now, there are some who would claim that any reference to Jesus the Christ as Lord means that we are not free. That's because they have not apprehended the freedom paradox. Instead, they've been convinced or have convinced themselves that being free means absolute, comprehensive independence from any authority other than ourselves. That if I'm free, then I am obligated to no authority higher than myself. I may use Lord as a title of honor and respect, but never as an expression of submission, because if I'm free, I am submitted to no one. Well, today I'm here to tell you that this attitude is at least tragically mistaken and maybe hideously wicked, but it is definitely foolishly arrogant. Absolute, comprehensive independence from any authority higher than myself doesn't exist. There is no such thing. We may be free to live in this as if this lie were true, but we are not free in the lie. Now, at this point, some of you are saying to yourself, wait a minute, I'm an American. I know what freedom is. We are a free nation. And every year we celebrate our freedom on the anniversary of the ratification of our nation's so-called Declaration of Independence. To which I would say, maybe. But the document we celebrate every 4th of July actually demonstrates that our nation's founders had apprehended the freedom paradox, that freedom is not independence, it is independence. Let me explain. It was after more than a year of armed conflict against British forces and their mercenaries and almost a month of concentrated, intense debate among delegates that the Second Continental Congress ratified in Philadelphia what we call the Declaration of Independence 250 years ago. This action, the events that led up to it, and those that followed have been reviewed, studied, analyzed, and examined in great detail in the 2.5 centuries since they occurred. Even so, most people are confused or misinformed about or ignorant of most of the document's content. When was the last time you read it? And the principles on which it's based. First, the authors and original signers did not title the document Declaration of Independence. They simply titled it the Unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States of America. That's the title. And second, through their representatives, the colonies with this document did not declare their independence from all authority, but rather their refusal to submit to unjust authority. It is true that they conclude the document with declarations that they were, quote, free and independent states. But when you read the document, you see that these declarations of our independence were actually based on explicit acknowledgement of God's existence, explicit expression of submission to God's authority and unquestioned dependence on God's character. In the document, in the very first sentence, they declared their interdependence on each other as one people, united in action under what they called the laws of nature and of nature's God. In the second sentence, they set the foundation for everything that follows in the document in a recognition of the divine creator. And in the second to last sentence, they appealed explicitly to, quote, the supreme judge of the world. And then in the final sentence, they stated their dependence on the protection of divine providence. I'm drawing your attention to our so-called Declaration of Independence and the anniversary of its ratification because I want to remind you today that if anyone wants to be free to enjoy life and liberty, divine rights cited in the document, you must first declare your dependence on God. To be truly free, we must apprehend this critical understanding of true freedom, the freedom paradox. We must understand that true freedom is not independence. True freedom is in dependence. Turn to the person beside you and say, true freedom is not independence. You could be a little bit more eager about that. True freedom is in dependence. And through the example of Simon Peter and his declaration of dependence on the Lord recorded in John chapter 6, Holy Spirit shows us three essential actions for applying the freedom paradox in dependence on our Lord. Everyone who wants to be truly free to experience the abundant life for which we are created, genuine freedom, and the pursuit of authentic happiness must apply the freedom paradox by taking the same three actions. Here's the first one. The first liberating action Simon Peter and those with him took in applying the freedom paradox was to make eternal life their paramount, preeminent, overriding priority, not independence. Are you listening? Their priority was not independence. Their priority was eternal life. Many of those who walked away from Lord Jesus were interested only in feeling free to feed their appetites, chase their amusements, and gratify the temporary satisfactions of ephemeral life. Yeah, I said ephemeral. Ephemeral is something that only lasts a short time. Ephemeral is temporary, short-lived. These bubbles, they're ephemeral. That's what ephemeral is. Ephemeral life is a limited and uncertain existence centered only on the passing moment, having lost all hope for hope and replaced it with surrender to fantasy. Ephemeral life is obsessed with escape from the dread of uncertainty that leads to fear and ultimately despair and death. Eternal life is not ephemeral life. Lord Jesus revealed that eternal life is life in the presence, power, and promise of God. Authentic and abundant life, life without limitations and without end. Eternal life sees things as they are, but realizes that the things we see are not all that are. I'll say that again. Eternal life sees things as they are, but realizes that the things we see are not all that are. Eternal life does not ignore or dismiss the passing moment, but embraces each moment as part of the unfolding of eternity, with the sure hope, the confident anticipation that comes from surrender to dependence on the one who is truth. Eternal life enjoys bubble moments, celebrates them as delightful gifts from God, but eternal life is not consumed with the pursuit of bubbles. We were made for eternal life. Stop chasing bubbles. We were made for eternal life, life that is full, abundant, and truly free in personal relationship with the Lord who sets us free. But we allow the lies of the great deceiver to discourage and dominate us, all the while distracting us from the devastating consequences of trusting those lies. And over time, we become accustomed to living shallow, passing, fragile, ephemeral lives in the pursuit of personal independence. Simon Peter and those who are with him chose not to pursue the fantasy of independence and settle for the ephemeral life, and instead to make rich, full, abundant, eternal life their overriding priority. What is your overriding priority? The priority in your life that takes precedence over any and every other person, pursuit, or thing. Are you looking to build an eternal quality of life? Or are you obsessed with being independent so you can satisfy mere passing pleasure? Is your priority eternal life or ephemeral life? What are you investing your energy in, your attention, your money, and your time? Are you investing your energy in looking good and feeling good, or in doing good? Are you investing your attention in how to advance in the eyes of your peers or in the eyes of God? Are you investing your money in your home, your car, and your hobbies and toys, or in the kingdom of God? Are you investing your time in activities and relationships with people that make you feel good, or in deepening your relationship with the Lord and helping others do the same? What is your predominant overriding priority? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of authentic happiness are possible when you put eternal life ahead of all other interests and goals. The first action we must take in applying the freedom paradox to be truly free is to make eternal life our overriding priority. And the second action we must take, revealed to us by Holy Spirit through the example of Christ's followers in this passage, is to recognize Lord Jesus as the source and resource of eternal life. Again, Peter said to the Lord, "You have words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God." He did not say, "You are a saint of God." He did not say, "You are a sage who offers commendable recommendations for how to live." He did not say, "You're an admirable ethical man who left a lovely example for us to follow." He said, "Lord, you have words of eternal life. You are the Son of the living God." Many people have great respect for Jesus of Nazareth. Many people. And many of them follow a wide variety of religious traditions. They respect Jesus as a wise guide to a moral life. But they live in pursuit of personal independence, dependent on themselves alone and their own best efforts to comply with moral standards they respect but cannot meet. As a result, their lives are dominated by the tyranny of uncertainty, leading to fear and ultimately desperation. Applying the freedom paradox to be truly free requires that you recognize Jesus Christ, the one whom God sent, as the one unique source and resource of eternal life. Life in God's presence, power, and promise, authentic and abundant life, life without limitations and without end. It doesn't mean that we can't recognize timeless truth wherever we find it, but the Lord did not leave us the option of treating him as one of many valuable sources of life and truth. He requires that we recognize him as the only true source and resource of eternal life. Simon Peter and those who are with him acknowledge Lord Jesus as the source and resource of eternal life and made eternal life their overriding priority. You and I must do the same if we want to apply the freedom paradox and experience eternal life, genuine freedom, and authentic happiness. And there's one other crucial action Holy Spirit reveals to us in the example of the followers of Lord Jesus in John 6. When we establish eternal life as our overriding priority and then acknowledge Lord Jesus as the source and resource of eternal life, there's one remaining action we must take. If we want to be truly free, we must apply the freedom paradox by trusting in Lord Jesus to experience eternal life. Simon Peter and those with him declared their dependence on Lord Jesus as the expression of their freedom from the tyranny of uncertainty and fear. And if you want to experience eternal life and the genuine freedom and authentic happiness it brings, you have to trust Lord Jesus. And what does it mean to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life? Well, it means you receive him as your Savior. In other words, you submit to him any shame or any guilt for past moral failure. All of us, each of us, is guilty of not meeting the moral standards of the perfectly just God of the universe. In fact, we don't even meet our own moral standards. and we cannot pay the penalty for our sin. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for us. That's what the cross is all about. On the cross, Lord Jesus took your place and mine as our substitute to pay the penalty of our moral failure. And if you've never received the gift of forgiveness for your sin that God offers in Jesus Christ, then you need to trust him for eternal life today. It is crucial, though, that we understand that trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to experience eternal life is more than receiving him as your Savior to forgive your past. Trusting in the Lord also includes recognizing him as Lord of your life now. It means obeying him and the choices you make now. It means depending on him for victory over the temptations that you are facing now. And it means submitting all your plans and dreams for the future to his authority. In other words, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is more than a statement of words. Trusting in Lord Jesus to experience eternal life means living each day fully and enthusiastically embracing his lordship over your life and your dependence on him. Whoever wants to be truly free for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness must live each day in full and enthusiastic dependence on the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because it is in Christ and in Christ alone that we can be truly free. And when we do, when we declare and demonstrate our full dependence on the Lord, we are truly free. In Christ, we are free from condemnation to bear the penalty of our sin. In Christ, we are free from the law of sin and death. In Christ, we are free from fear of being separated from God's love. And in Christ, we are free for a new start. In Christ, we are free for open, eternal access to God's presence and power. In Christ, we are free for a full share in his promise. In Christ, we are free for holiness and living holy. In Christ, we are free for victory in our daily lives. In Christ, we are free for revelation and understanding of truth. In Christ, we are free for participation in his body, the church. In Christ, we are free for full inclusion in the people of God. And in Christ, we are free for life with purpose and fulfillment. I want to illustrate for you what it means to be truly free in Lord Jesus by telling you about a man who died as a prisoner. Of course, he was not born in prison. He was born in the capital of the nation of Panama, where he grew up in the slum area called Terra Plena. After completing high school, he attended military school in Peru, was commissioned as an officer in the army in Panama. Later, he studied in America at a military school run by the United States Army. Some of you may know I'm describing Manuel Noriega. Over the years, Noriega acquired increasing power and a reputation for cruelty and self-indulgence. He believed that freedom meant being independent of any moral, social, or political limitations. He eventually became the de facto ruler of Panama. He worked with the U.S. CIA to traffic weapons and money to secret allies in Central and South America. He also accumulated great financial wealth by trafficking cocaine. Eventually, Noriega lost favor with the U.S. government, not because he was trafficking drugs, but because he cooperated with people that our government opposed. And in the year 1989, when the United States invaded Panama, Noriega was taken into custody and brought here. He was tried in court for drug trafficking, organized crime, and money laundering, and was sentenced to prison. And in the year 2010, the United States sent him to France, where he was tried and convicted of money laundering. Then in 2011, France sent him to Panama, where he was sentenced to 20 years in prison. And he died on May 29th, 2017, 2 months after brain surgery. And you may be wondering what this has to do with finding freedom in dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what I want to tell you about. You see, shortly after Noriega was brought to this country, he received a package where he was imprisoned in Miami. It was a Bible. And he responded to the note that he found in the Bible. And as a result, he was visited in May of 1990 by two Baptist evangelists, Cliff Brannon and Rudy Hernandez. They visited with Noriega for a total of 6 hours over 2 days. And during that time, Noriega received Jesus Christ as a Savior and recognized him as the Lord of his life. And at that moment, he became truly free. 2 years later, a judge granted a petition from Brannon and Hernandez, and Noriega was baptized in a portable baptistry in a courthouse. Noriega lived 27 years after receiving Christ, and for almost that entire time he was in prison. But his real condition was genuine spiritual freedom. Now, you can question whether Noriega's profession of faith was genuine. And I can't tell you with 100% certainty, but I can tell you that I met the evangelist Rudy Hernandez. And I heard him in person say what he experienced when Noriega found freedom in Christ. And I have read a report from a witness of his baptism, and a report from a guard who met him in prison. And I read a report that the evangelist Luis Palau made of his visit to Manuel Noriega in prison. Reverend Palau said the only things he saw in Noriega's cell were an exercise bike, a cot, and a table with a Bible on it. And Reverend Palau said that all Noriega talked about was what God had done in his life while in solitary confinement. Reverend Palau said he asked Noriega, "If the day comes when you're released, General, what will you do with your life?" Reverend Palau said, Noriega replied, "Mr. Palau, I have found a new commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. The day I walk out of here a free man, I will turn to my general and say, what do you want me to do?" Then Noriega pointed to his Bible and said, "There is the book that tells me what his will is for my life, which has changed me." Now, I think Manuel Noriega found real freedom. And he found it in the same way that Simon Peter and Jesus' followers found it. They made eternal life their overriding priority. They recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one true source and resource of eternal life, and they declared in word and deed their unreserved dependence on Lord Jesus Christ to experience eternal life. So I want to ask you, have you made authentic, abundant eternal life your preeminent priority? Or are you wasting your attention, your energy, your time, and your money on mere material and mortal existence? And have you come to recognize that Lord Jesus is the source and resource of eternal life? And are you trusting him for eternal life? Embrace the freedom he offers you today by declaring your dependence on Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we seek to turn our attention completely to the Lord and block out any distraction? If you have trusted Christ for true freedom, I encourage you right now to thank him for that freedom. Thank him for making dependence on him possible in your own life, and pray for those who have not yet made that step, taken that step of faith. If you have not yet received Christ, or you're not quite sure, then I encourage you to do that right now. Just in the quietness of your heart, in your own words, express to him your desire to trust him for forgiveness, for power, and for the future.